Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening. This is Jessica with Shasta Unmasked, and I'm here with our guest hosts, Benjamin and Jenny Nguyen.
Hey.
From North State Breakdown. And we are in downtown Reading, KCNR, live 96.5 FM. And we have a call-in number, 530-605-4566 and 67. So at any point, if you would like to call in and discuss with us what you think about the topics we're discussing, feel free to do so.
Yes, give us a piece of your mind.
Yeah. So we're here tonight to kind of talk about the board meeting today.
A very short board meeting, which actually sort of avoided a very contentious item. I'm referring to, if you haven't been paying attention, I've been referring to item R6 from today's meeting. That was the appointment of a new vector board appointee.
Right.
They put two individuals up, an individual who had done it for 4 years previous and actually had some credentials behind his name, a gentleman by the name of Philip Kramer. And there was another candidate by the name of Richard Gallardo, which...
So colorful.
Yeah.
So colorful.
I'm not even sure where to start with this guy. But,
He's not like...
We've all had our run-ins with him.
Well, first of all, he was on the TV show with the animal control where he was shooting baby squirrels.
Yes, that was Wild Justice.
Wild Justice, mm-hmm. And was confronted and admitted to shooting the squirrel.
I believe it's season 2, episode 5.
Oh, he lied. But they found the carcasses with the bullets that matched his gun.
He couldn't tell the truth. Or he refused to tell the truth, so the cop actually had to play CSI,
mm-hmm.
The forest... Or the wildlife guy, had to do CSI on a squirrel in order to determine that he was lying. I mean, there had to have been enhanced charges for that, because that's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was just one little tiny piece about.
And yet this gentleman also ran for SCOE.
Mm-hmm. Which we're trying to just, avoid that conversation just out of conflict of interest.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just... The concept that this gentleman's trying to run for any public office or anything involving the public trust or best interest is pretty egregious.
He tried to arrest the Board of Supervisors
right.
in 2020.
This is correct.
And not just the board. I mean, he was on video trying to arrest many people.
He tried to arrest a former program manager, Dave Marin, mm-hmm. Who worked for Shasta County, for filing, ironically, a false police report. And his allegation was that because he was at a vaccine clinic, he had the right to be there and spout misinformation and harass individuals there.
So my question is, why has he never been in trouble for a false arrest? If he continuously uses his power to
effect
an arrest and nothing's ever come of them, it would indicate that there was not enough evidence to arrest people yet. He's never been in trouble, and that is a punishable offense.
It is. It actually wastes a lot of the local law enforcement's time. It ties up the district attorney with false allegations. And we've had regular conversations in the community about, the efficacy of the district attorney and how they're able to complete their work. And it's, individuals like this that make that job more difficult, flooding the system with false information and false complaints, for sure.
So what was next? Did we talk last time about the lack of appointing Cindy Vogt?
We did. Okay. We did. There seems to be a pattern,
mm-hmm.
because the reason I mentioned R6, because it actually was polled. This vote didn't happen. And the reason I mentioned that is because they didn't allow public comment on it. Now, clearly, you could have gone up in the overall public comment and mentioned it, but that, of course, constrains your topics down to whatever you have there, but they pulled this item in, and I looked up in the Brown Act, that particular rule is that they can stay a vote or sorry, stay public input on something that was not discussed if they're going to move it to a future meeting. But there is no indication of which future meeting it's going to be. So I kind of don't think it meets the...
So if it's postponed to a certain date, you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, and so I didn't see. They didn't say what date it was. So it what they stated was they were looking for qualified candidates, which they had one.
Right.
So what I heard, and I think what a lot of community members heard, is, hey, we need somebody less controversial than Richard Gallardo, but someone who's a more of a loyalist than Philip Cramer, mm-hmm. which is not how government should work. We have a qualified candidate. You had the ability to vote
right.
on that day. They just pushed it because they didn't want to have that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, and isn't his favorite elected official that was appointed by the board originally, she ran against no one because she was the qualified candidate who put herself forward. So what is the point in waiting when they could just appoint the one that's already here?
It's a waste of government resources, but we see this kind of thing quite frequently with this board.
Well, this is a new board.
Well,
yeah, that's,
true. That's true. It's a new board, but the ideologies seem to be trending in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. What do we think about how the new board members are doing?
Well,
what observations are we making?
I can give you my observations. Yes. I believe that that Matt Plummer and Alan Long, in particular, mm-hmm. are striking a very good chord with community and feedback in that they seem to kind of understand how the board has been manipulated mm-hmm. and pushed into this extremist kind of direction, and they're trying to course correct. But unfortunately, the forces that are against them right now, being Kevin Cry as a board majority
right.
leader, and now Corky Harmon, who quite honestly is in my opinion a bit out of his depth. I haven't seen him weigh in on enough to make
right.
a really good decision about him. But I do feel that he seems to be somewhat contentious of the fact that he's being considered the swing vote, but really he's the one who hasn't really given us his positions.
Right.
Like
his own personal
exactly.
opinions.
So we're
yeah.
still the jury is still out on what kind of supervisor he's going to be.
So personally with Matt Plummer, my thoughts on him are that he's good enough that he can work with Kevin Cry or work mm-hmm. with Chris Kellstrom and not set them, set their hackles off. Like they're okay with him. But he also has that sane part of him that listens to the people and listens to the constituents and comes up with sane and rational arguments for things. So he's that
how,
nice.
How novel.
Well, it's nice because usually it's you're sane or you work with Kevin Cry. There's not usually like a both.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah, you either are an ideologue or you're, the enemy,
mm-hmm.
which is really frustrating because it shouldn't be like that. I know that in the first meeting, Kevin, he does these post-meeting videos. I usually call them evening propagandas. But he basically did this video where, hey, the discourse is much better. But it was right after he had strong-armed his way back into being the chair and, ironically stating he wasn't going to cram things down people's throats. And it's this doublespeak that's really kind of concerning to me.
I'm just hoping it stays this way where they can work together on things but also have separate opinions. Like that's kind of a nice thing. It sort of pulls us back to make all board meetings boring again. Like that's one of those things that I just really long for. It's just like a boring board meeting where nothing happens except business.
Are you actually wanting that to happen?
Well,
yeah,
for sure, because it more things get done that way. And I have to say, I don't have any contention, particularly with any of the board members and their agendas per se. It's the way that they go about trying to it's the way they try to go about executing on that. Like Kevin Cry often will state that he wants to help children, but then he will do things that I think are at the detriment of children. And we can talk about that later, but I think Cindy Vogt was a good example.
Yeah. I think so, too. She has a ton of experience. She definitely should have been had the chance. Are we all ready to break? Oh, my goodness. Okay, we need to take a break. We will be right back with Shasta Unmasked.
Sorry, I saw the light. Now he is thinking about me every night.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. We are live at the downtown KCNR radio station, 96.5 FM. And our phone number is 530-605-4566 or 67. Feel free to call in and talk about whatever you want. Let us know what your thoughts are about the topics we're discussing.
Yeah, got any good recipes?
Yeah. Talk about whatever you want. What kind of pizza do you like?
This isn't the man show.
Yeah. Don't get me in trouble. No, <I'm laughs> anyways, who wants to start the next topic? Jenny?
Mommy?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we did want to talk about the Millville Plains case. I guess it was heard today. We were at the board meeting, but we did get some information back. Jenny, did you want to fill us in?
Well, the most that I know about it is that Patrick Jones dropped his lawyer, Sean Northam, and represented himself. So this ought to be interesting.
Hey, you know what they say? What is the term?
You know what they say?
No, I don't know what they say. What is it?
A man who represents himself as a fool for a lawyer.
There we go. Mm. Or a fool for a client.
Something like that.
I think they both work.
Either way.
Well, that was a good one.
Who am I? I couldn't even remember it.
This is true. This is true.
I think I was actually asking, do you know what they say?
So, what were you guys at the hearing?
No.
No, okay. Because I think they were at the same time.
They were at the same time, so we weren't able to attend both.
We were just getting live feedback.
Do we know what happened?
I don't know what the outcome of this particular one. I can imagine that it's probably, you know, a continuing process. I don't think they're going to decide anything in one or two hearings.
They're just hearing information right now.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
But it doesn't look good for Patrick Jones if isn't able to retain legal counsel in order, you know, how is he going to fight that?
Right.
I mean, I have it on pretty good authority that he sort of illegally did his whole situation regarding the gun range in the first place. I mean, he told people in private that while he was running that he was going to do this specifically for his gun range, that he was going to manipulate
it's
the,
been
that office.
His goal since the city. That's actually where he first initially brought this up and where he was pulled together with Missy MacArthur in hopes of getting enough funding to build this gun range.
It's like it's kind of like comic book level, like, evil. I'm going to misuse my office to get the thing I wanted for all these years.
I think evil is sort of a strange term. Tomfoolery, maybe.
Yeah. I guess, but it's like, it's clearly against the law. Like, it wasn't like he didn't know. He received counsel, and he's like, well, I'm going to do it anyways.
And I think my biggest problem with the Millville Plains is how many people came up to state this shouldn't be done. I mean, it was specifically set aside. That area of land was set aside for agricultural purposes only. They never wanted it to be turned into anything commercial, and it was set aside a very long time ago for this purpose. As we saw Redding develop, they wanted a place for agriculture. And then he misused his place on the board to rezone the land. Because he wasn't even allowed to own as much of the land as he had, yet he still had it. He rezoned it so he could turn it into a commercial property, despite the fact that it's on marshland and that there are protected animals living there, such as the eagle. It's insane that he got as far as he did.
I wonder if the judge is going to take into consideration the fact that he changed that boundary or whatever it's called, the...
They changed the zoning?
Yeah, the zoning.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll take that into consideration, that he misused his authority. Well,
it's a little muddied because he did recuse himself from that vote, but he was responsible at the time for bringing it to be voted on in the first place.
Right.
Not to mention that both or pretty much three of the members up there had a stake in whether or not he got what he wanted because he's who Reverge funnels his money through.
Yeah.
So if they all wanted to keep their position up there, they needed to do it by pleasing Patrick Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Please the king.
And instead of waiting until he was out of office to vote on this, they did it while he was there. And while he may not have been in the room when they voted, but he was in the room for the entire topic and conversation until they voted.
And you know what's funny? We Jenny and I were actually out in the area the other day, and it is shocking how close some of the adjacent properties with housing and stuff are to that Millville Plains area. Like, it's shocking. Like, you see it on a map and you're like, yeah, it looks pretty close, but like when you're actually physically there, there's no way this would ever be approved by anybody who actually physically went out there and looked at the location. Like, it's
so some of the questions I would have are things like, it's awfully close to Haas Farm, where there's a lot of people running through there, and stray bullets could run pretty far.
Yeah.
So is there a chance of it injuring or wounding anyone in this?
God. Shouldn't the safety inspections determine that?
So I know that they already told him that he had to build higher buffers. I think I'm using the wrong word, but they already told him he had to use higher buffers because the ones he had were not sufficient. But... And he said he did, but I haven't heard any safety things since then about as to whether his newly built things will be enough to stop a bullet.
Yeah, it's not. You wouldn't put it in a residential area, and it's very like it's arguably a residential area. I mean, it is.
There are cattle like a block away from there.
Yeah,
and a bullet can definitely go that far. My biggest concern is the poor Vietnam veteran who lives. Like, who's literally adjacent to his.
I remember.
With PTSD problems.
No, he basically stated, if this gets built, I have to move because of his PTSD.
Sure, and sounds so, like he respects our veterans.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, only if they bend the knee.
It's such an uplifting.
The other thing they were talking about today. I know. The other thing they were talking about today was. Having the Kevin Cry brought up that he was wanted to have all of the higher ups for the different agencies come and talk about what is the problem with getting people to stay in jail and get prosecuted for their crimes.
This is a big one,
yeah,
because there is kind of a lot of information flowing in and out, and some of this is going to be opinion of my own, so I don't want to state, hey, this is exactly what's happening, but I can tell you based on the last, you know, several years of sort of watching kind of how elected officials sort of like tip their hat, you know, when they're going to do something. It kind of started with Kevin Cry in, I believe, October of 23, when he started making allegations about the district attorney. And there was that whole letter situation, you know, that letter that got buried from the attorney general. And he kind of took a step back and realized, you know, that was not the correct way to go about it. And so now he's going a different route. He's trying to find, you know, victims in the area to use to insinuate that their cases aren't being handled as quickly as they can. And he's not wrong about that. But that's also not fully on the district attorney. Some of that is due to state agencies not being funded well enough. And the agency here, ironically, they've asked for money. The district attorney's asked for money that the board themselves has turned down. So from my perspective, it looks very much like, hey, we're going to say the DA isn't processing fast enough. And then when the DA comes back and says, hey, I need these resources to do this, they're going to shut that down and then go and state, you're not doing your work fast enough and we're not giving you the resources. And then his supporters of Kevin Cry have stated they wish to recall the DA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling it now. That is going to happen. It might be a few months, but we're trending in that direction. So that meeting that he's having on, I think it's January 28th, he talked about, he's basically going to come back and state, they gave us a lot of excuses, and here's the real facts, and his real facts are going to be very skewed.
I think we call this trial by public opinion. That in reality, we saw the same thing with Modi.
Yeah.
We see it happen really commonly in this group of people, where they choose someone to attack, and then they just smear their name as far as they can.
I mean, the fact that he did it in 2023 and then recalibrated, took a few months, and then took another stab at it in a different way, it's clear. It is absolutely clear what is happening. I know the general public doesn't have time to, like, pay attention to this 24 hours a day like I do, but this is where we're headed.
It would be nice if they followed through with their campaign promises and built a bigger jail.
Yeah.
How many campaign promises have been to build a bigger jail?
Plus, like, the current jail is just inhumane.
Yeah.
It's very cold.
Yeah. She's been in there. She knows.
Our very own criminal.
Absolutely.
We also, what was I going to say about the, oh, yeah, so the ball will be thrown around some more.
Mm-hmm.
When does she up for re-election, the DA?
It's a 6-year term, and I think she just got back in when it was the same election that Kevin Cry got in. So she would.
She has 4 more years.
4 more years. So they need to get her out if they want to control all of the arms of government. They have pretty much all of them right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though it's arguable that that Kevin has the elections office, because Thomas Toller hasn't been playing ball the way that at least Patrick Jones wanted him
right.
to.
Well, I wouldn't go around throwing Tom Teller under the bus.
Oh, no.
He just does his job.
Actually, I'm quite impressed with him,
yeah.
Actually, because he was given the line that our elections were flawed, and when he got in, he learned that, no, actually, they run pretty well, and we have safeguards in place for when things go wrong to fix them, and he watched that roll out in real time and actually made an adult decision based on facts.
It's really fun seeing who's teachable when they get into office, because a lot of people think that this job is easy, whether it be the elected officials, you know, like Kevin Cry, or whether it be Tom Teller.
Yeah.
It's really fun to see, like, who is teachable.
Who has the ability to change their opinion based on facts. Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's probably one of the most important things to look at.
I agree.
Like, Tim Garman was amazing to watch his progress as he learned new things and changed and developed.
He was an incredible student, and I think he's going to be an incredible teacher now for people who are interested in public office. Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's another one who said, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know. Like, it's all about when you get in, who is humble enough to realize, hey, oh, I think we have to.
Yeah, I think we're headed out again.
All right, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back on Chefs Unmasked.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join us on Wednesday as we welcome the Shasta County Sheriff's Department and get an update on everything that's happening in the Sheriff's Department, jail personnel, concerns for the Shasta County Sheriff's Department. Also, have you ever wondered what that red stuff is they're dropping from the planes? Can it harm you? What's it made of? And how does it work? An update on all of this Wednesday right here. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica, and I'm here with Jenny and Benjamin Nguyen, my guest hosts.
Hey.
We're live at the downtown Reading radio station, KCNR FM 96.5. You can call us at 530-605-4566 or 67 if you'd like to relay any information to us or, just enjoy the conversation that we're having.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to touch a little bit on one of the items today. There was a presentation from Dr. Mu about the bird flu pandemic, which is primarily passed, to avian, birds and stuff, and livestock. I think it's crossed over to cows, they said, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. It can be passed to people very rarely, and I guess it can't be passed from person to person. So yeah. A lot of this seemed to be sort of touching upon the general public's fear about, there being another pandemic, but not more of is there going to be more restrictions and X, Y, and Z. And he was kind of trying to alleviate everybody's fears. And I actually do appreciate that. The information he had was good, and it was well put together. But I did have some concerns about how it was done. Dr. Mu, in case you don't know, was a private practitioner. He doesn't hold the credentials for public health. So my understanding is they were like, oh, yeah, we'll pay for him to do it while he's here. And I was like, well, that would make more sense to just get somebody who already knew how to do it.
He's all right.
He does have a good heart, and he does trying to do the right thing. I have concerns because he was pulling information from the Center for Disease Control in regards to how the information that he was getting about the H5N1 in Shasta County, and I was like, okay, that's interesting, because the information that he was pulling and that he was using to kind of state his case was also information that was sort of soundly rejected by a lot of the anti-vaccine individuals in Shasta County because they didn't trust the CDC.
I mean, 100% rejected.
Yeah. And so we're looking at, okay, we're going to use the CDC information when we like it, and we're going to not use it when we don't like it.
Yeah.
See, that bothers me. Like, I can see you being on either side of the aisle, but to kind of cherry pick how you're going to use this data. And it illustrated a bigger point to me that we actually don't have a public health lab.
Right.
I sort of spoke about it earlier today. I wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit. I don't want to take too much time, but basically the public health lab had a lot of individuals in it that they basically were pushed out. They weren't soundly fired. They didn't exactly shut the department down, but basically everyone's left, the department shut down. So
they made it a difficult place to work.
Yes,
it was due to
I think it was public harassment, and then actually harassment done internally by individuals as high up as the Board of Supervisors. I actually have reports from people from that department that they were falsely whistleblowed upon for misappropriation at work, and they essentially did an investigation so invasive that it made more sense to just quit the job than to even bother. And it's really frustrating to me, because I would like to have individuals that are really invested in our community's health to actually do the wastewater checks and stuff like that the public health department did, because the information we're getting now is either severely delayed from government agencies or outsourced to third parties at a higher cost, and we could literally be doing this job in-house with staff we trust who actually want to help the community. And we're in a situation right now where we're not getting that. And so the CDC's information, while helpful, is going to be delayed or potentially inaccurate and not specific to our local needs. So that was my little soapbox for that.
That makes sense.
Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
That's okay. No, it does make complete sense. I mean, it's just ridiculous how...
I think it's quite disappointing the way that the county staff has been treated in the last few years. And this would, because I know a lot of people would like to blame our current chairman, but it actually goes beyond him from when Patrick Jones first got the board majority.
Right.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of pressure put on our county employees that really shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, how many of these are unionized employees? How many of these are people that they're just trying to get rid of to lower cost on benefits? And
it, so part of it is that there was a law enacted, maybe not a law, but an interpretation of the law that I believe was enacted. I want to say it was 2018. I could be off on the year. But it was in regards to whether or not you were required to pay union fees when you first came into to an agency. And once it was enacted, every new employee was given the option to not pay for the union fees. And when you don't pay for union fees, your union doesn't get any money. So they don't continue to upkeep and operate themselves to speak on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, I was getting reports while I was a union steward that they weren't even offering the paperwork to people. And that's difficult to prove. Because when I first started, and I worked in the county for 11 years starting in 2013, most recently terminated in October 25th, 2024. But when I started, they actually had a a individual you spoke to who told you exactly what the union dues were for, and you could opt into a voting section or a non-voting section, and the money you paid in helped for things like strikes and or negotiations or stuff like that. Now, here's the insidious part of this. If you opt out and don't pay, you still get the support of the union. What this does is it weakens the union, but doesn't for people first coming into the county, just give them a good cost incentive.
Right.
Because they're like, well, I don't have to pay anything and they'll still take care of me. Mm-hmm. Well, the idea is because from the county's perspective, it's a long-term investment on getting rid of the union and controlling it completely.
Well, not to mention that if the union drops below a certain percentage, they can just disband the union.
That's correct.
And that would really affect. I want people to remember that the county employs more people than any business in this area. So when you affect all of these employees, you're affecting the local economy in a way that can be devastating if this continues.
Absolutely. I am now unemployed because of that mistreatment, right. Actually. And that's a huge, huge chunk. I wish more of them would speak out, to be honest.
I do, too. And speaking of that, we do have our Facebook open to messages from county employees. If they would like to remain anonymous and shoot us a message about what they've experienced, or they can email us at shastaunmasked@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And your information will stay anonymous. We're just looking to hear stories of other county employees who may have experienced similar things and want to share their story, maybe feel like they can't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That same goes for North State Breakdown on Facebook.
Yep.
Absolutely. Same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is, how do we reverse what has transpired, and how do we...
It's both simple and complicated in that the simple answer is class action lawsuit. The complicated piece is all of the... all of the different pieces that have to go into effect, the organization communication, mm-hmm. and really people speaking out. I think
right.
there's also the court of public opinion, which is normally secondary, but unfortunately in this sort of society, for some reason it comes first, mm-hmm. a lot of times, and we're seeing that being weaponized against us a lot. So it's important to kind of get your message out as early as you can so that you're not co-opted. But honestly, I think that if, you know, we could put together a coalition, we'd have people, meeting regularly. I mean, obviously, it would have to be a private affair. I'm stating it on the radio, so that's really not super private. But but I do need to get people interested in actually doing this.
Right.
So the evangelism is coming from a place of let's get this going, because we do know that there's been injustices that have been occurred, multiple injustices. If I went into them now, we would go over our hour. But I know individuals that are having these issues. Don't just shake it off and move on to the next job. You know, Taylor Swift isn't going to get you out of this.
Yeah. Don't insult our Swifties. I'm just kidding. But yeah, you're right. People need to stand up for what's right. And it's scary when your livelihood is on the line. I mean, who wants to risk losing their job and being on unemployment, you know?
But you know what? They even denied my unemployment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on appeal with the state. I'm living on a prayer right now.
Wow. In that case, you can donate to North State Breakdown
actually,
for the work that Benjamin does.
That's absolutely an incredible point, and I want to make it clear to people that you know, nobody should feel like they absolutely have to donate to something like this. But if you do care about the work that I'm putting out and you are interested in getting information about it, mm-hmm. it is incredibly helpful. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, anybody who's already donated and given what you can. Thank you so much.
And know that it takes time, too, and your time is valuable and mm-hmm. should be reimbursed
world. I have a lot of it now, thanks to some people.
Right. So, yes, if you can, find the link for the GoFundMe and give whatever you can.
Well, it's not just the breakdown itself. The GoFundMe was something different. The breakdown itself is its own entity, and it's actually what I want to shift to moving forward. I want to put out some good stuff for the community. I weekly put out the agenda previews, and in addition to that, I'm also putting out some more substantive breakdowns. There's a couple of pretty good ones coming up.
Can you give us any tips?
Any tips? Or do you want me to give you a
preview?
A preview? A breakdown preview? Yeah, I can do that. There is a law it's a breakout of the Brown Act called a cure or correct. And I did some research on it, and it appears as if when you do a cure or correct, it's basically a demand that you make from an entity, in this case the county, where you state, hey, you did something improperly, I need you to address this within 30 days. And they have 30 days to respond to you. This was in regards to my wife's arrest on November 7th, where she was arrested violating her civil rights for a peaceful protest.
It's the sign, those dangerous signs,
those
letters.
Dangerous.
You know, yeah. Letters are so scary.
They never responded to me, and it's been over 30 days. So I actually, based on that law, I can actually seek legal recourse, and the county will actually have to pay for my legal counsel in this situation. I'll probably have to be reimbursed, but I can't see being, like, based on what I'm reading, it sounds like that's going to be the situation. So I want to break down kind of what happened during my wife's November 7th arrest, probably not in quite as dramatic detail as I did with her original removal from the building, where I did like in a documentary form. But I do want to explain how her civil rights were broken down. And it was only further proven by this last meeting on January 7th, when a woman by the name of Dawn, who we've gotten to know subsequently, she did a sit down just like Jenny did. And the lawyer counsel, basically Lamour, stated the meeting could continue because she wasn't causing a disruption that could cause the meeting not to continue. So I sort of proved our case. So that's what I'm working on right now. I mean, it's a little more personal and a little less county. I need to get back to the business of the county, but unfortunately a lot of this stuff is interspersed.
Well, a big way to think of this is if they can do it to one person, who says they can't do it to other people?
Absolutely.
Like, who says, I mean, I'm a person that went to coffee with Kevin Cry in good faith in hopes that he would be a good supervisor when he beat the recall. And my reward for that is to be the only person to this day to be not only dragged out by sheriff, but to be arrested and to be sent to jail for a sign, for sitting quietly with a sign.
And you want to hear the kicker to that? She was cavity searched.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking to some former law enforcement that stated that's highly, highly irregular. And my understanding is you actually need approval from someone very high up in the office in order to do that.
Okay. We'll get back to this as soon as we get back, but we do need to take a break. We'll be right back with Shasta Unmasked.
This is Carl Bott. Join us on Wednesday as we welcome the Shasta County Sheriff's Department and get an update on everything that's happening in the Sheriff's Department, jail personnel, concerns for the Shasta County Sheriff's Department. Also, have you ever wondered what that red stuff is they're dropping from the planes? Can it harm you? What's it made of, and how does it work? An update on all of this Wednesday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. We'll play part two of our conversation with Pat Boone, plus we'll welcome Emmy Award-winning actress Louise Schaefer. Louise Schaefer, one of the stars of Ryan's Hope. It's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
Good day, feel the love, get
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to KCNR. If you are interested in giving us a call, you can call us at 605-4567. That's area code 530. Or 4566 and 67? Yeah, yes. I think so. That's correct. Okay. So I did that in a weird way, but also I'm not used to doing this. So I'm going to run the last leg of this show. We're live with Benjamin Nowain and his beautiful wife, Jenny Lynn O'Connell Nowain.
The Strawberry of Doom.
The Strawberry of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wanted to briefly touch on the situation in public comment. Kevin Cry said something interesting today, and I actually think it was a good thing, but what I'm concerned about is what is going to come out of it. Because and I'll elaborate. He basically stated, "Hey, I know people are concerned about the public comment time being restricted for certain items." He's basing it off how many items or how many speaker cards there are, but we know for a fact that he had less than 10 speakers for the chair pick on January 7th. So it was just sort of like, oh, you know, let's rip this one off like a Band-Aid and get through it as quickly as possible. People see through that stuff. So he had been, I'm guessing, talked to about it quite a bit because he did make a statement during today's January 14th meeting that he was going to, hey, at request people send emails to him specifically. I would probably send them to the whole board, but send it to him specifically about, concerns about public comment and how you would, you know, rearrange it or work it or whatever. So I actually think this is a good thing, and I think I would implore Shasta and Mask's audience to do that. Shasta County BOS at shastacounty.gov. I believe that's the email. You can always Google it, but that will get you the entire board of supervisors and maybe even throw in the clerk of the board. There's also, if you go to the Shasta County website, you can find them as well. Basically state, you know, hey, you expect to have 3 minutes, barring some, you know, incredible situation that would require it, because I don't think the nature and the spirit of the Brown Act is being followed when certain items are being restricted in that manner.
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting about that is that it's technically fully legal by the Brown Act.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's he is following the law, but the question is, if one of the things that Kevin Cry ran on was interest in public opinion and what they have to say and what they want to accomplish, and then we do things like limit public comments.
Yeah.
You know, how is that following through with the initial promises? Now, this could be another case of I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
But it seems like such a simple thing to just allow the public that time.
Yeah, and it gives the impression of it's more important for me to get out of this building or to go to lunch. I know that's not what he's stating. He's stating, the staff has to stay here this extra time. There's all these different elements, but all of that is true, but that also doesn't respect the public's time. So there has to be a balance between what what we would like to do, which is to get home early, but we're also taxpayers, and we've taken part of our day to be there. I've literally given my job to be there. So
not to mention that there are people who wish to just take an hour or two off rather than an entire day to be there.
Yeah.
Because the public isn't being paid to be there. They're there for free. And some of these people do have ideas and thoughts. And yes, maybe some of us are the same people over again, but there are new people that we may never hear from because the meetings push public comment to the end.
Yes. And that's a concern.
Now, I do like some of the things that come before public comment at times, like some of the ideas that are brought forth. It was something that I always wish would happen at some of the older meetings before Kevin Cry, where there was important business that was happening and people weren't hearing about it or seeing it. So I understand that perspective. But I also understand that within the first couple hours, public comment should happen because there are people who have other things to do.
Well, and I can say as a veteran of the Board of Supervisors process, going to all of these meetings, the whole public comment situation, it being pushed to the end is clearly to limit the exposure of those individuals as well, because a lot of people leave before their time. I've actually seen, a look of relief on the face of some of the supervisors when they call out names that are no longer there. Oh, good, that saves us 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's not the spirit of the Brown Act. That's actually not what it was designed for. Now, it is the chair's prerogative to arrange and manipulate the meetings, but not quite in this way. And so we're in a situation right now where we're looking at we're getting less and less public participation by the general public, and more like activists, like either myself or Laura Hobbs or Lori Bridgeford or whatever. Like, we're all sort of in the same boat because we go all the time. But also, my goal is to educate the general public about what this meeting is, what the board can actually accomplish, and how to use your voice in order to speak at these meetings. And it's incredibly difficult because the public comment's moving all around, and I don't know anybody who's going to take 10 hours off of their day because they don't know exactly how long or when they're going to be able to speak.
It's just sort of a difficult thing. I mean, I personally don't have much to do, but there's plenty of people who are really upset because they try to make the meeting before they go to work, and then their public comment is pushed so far out there that they never get to express what they want to express.
Yeah,
I've always felt like the public comment should be first because the public are the ones not being paid to be there.
Staff
is being paid to be there. They should do their job and be there, but the public who's taking off work and not being paid should be able to be there and be spoken first.
Well, I do understand, because you just made the point that some people are paid to be there, but some of those people also have, some of those people paid to be there also have other things to do.
Yeah, sure. Well,
and so it might be important to, push some of those people ahead as well, people who...
Well, they may be able to flex those staff, too. If there's an eight-hour meeting, they could probably flex those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I think where my concern lies is that the board, gave themselves a massive raise last year. And by limiting and shortening the meetings, it's not like they get paid less for going home at noon or two or whatever, when they cut down all these minutes from the board speeches. No, they get to have their lunch faster and they get to go home faster.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're still getting paid the same because they're basically salaried employees at that point. So to me, that's like stealing from the general public.
The other thing I would like to see, and I think I'm going to email the board about this, is that when they do the presentations for the county employees who are going to be, the sheriff talking about the jail situation and all that, I would like to hear the presentations first before we give public comment.
I think I'm not sure if they did that today I think they go back and forth. Today was pretty well managed aside from you know, my thought mm-hmm. is pulling R6, I think, was kind of dumb. I think they should have just done it. And then also the restricting the public comments to 2 minutes.
I just feel like if the public is able to hear first the people speaking.
I agree.
Oh, we have to go. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay, our show is already over. We will see you next week on Shasta and Math, Tuesday from 6 to 7. Have a good week.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.